Our colleague Philip Reeves climbed aboard a train. He's been traveling through Pakistan, a country he knows better than most outsiders after years of reporting there. The train ride was a way to hear the worries and dreams of people in what is one of the most populous nations on Earth. And it's also fun for the rest of us to ride along. Our journey began yesterday in the north in the city of Rawalpindi, and we're now more than halfway to the destination, the city of Karachi.
South Asia's railway stations make their own music. There's a choir. Our train has just pulled in. It's 3 a.m. The choir is trying to wake everyone up to sell us breakfast. The percussion is a man checking our wheels with a hammer. The horns are from another train, whose arrival inspires the choir to deliver another chorus. We've reached a railway junction outside the city of Sakha in southern Pakistan. The Indus River flows close by, winding down from the mountains of Tibet to the Arabian Sea. Breakfast looks appetizing.
So tell me, what is this? What is the name of this?
This is Shami Kawab. Shami Kawab.
Shami Kawab.
And this?
Egg.
And in here?
Beans. Breakfast.
A shami kebab's like a mini beef burger. But the people on our train remain stubbornly asleep. After all, who eats burgers and beans at this time of day? After a couple of hours, we stop at a country station. A middle-aged man climbs aboard. Mohammed Aslam Rao is going to a cousin's funeral. He says family duties consume all his spare hours. He has 11 children. In his world, there's no such thing as personal time.
No.
No TV.
Rao runs a small business repairing farm equipment. He has to cope with constant power outages. He says he can't get access to government officials without paying a middleman. At 48, Rao has lost all faith in the institutions of state.
I don't have any trust anymore.
Politicians do nothing to tackle corruption, says Rao.
If they don't want to do it, what can you do? They're involved in corruption. In fact, they're making it worse.
So you don't have a lot of hope for the future of your country then?
No, we have no hope of any kind.
I've heard Pakistanis say this many times. Look at education, they say. At many government-run schools, teachers don't even show up for work. So struggling parents must pay to educate kids privately. That includes Rao. 7 of his 11 children, though, are girls. He'll allow the girls an education, but not a career.
It doesn't even enter our thoughts that they'd get a job. We don't even want girls to get educated, but that's the trend these days. So we let them study up to 10th grade, and that's it.
In Rao's world, daughters marry and do the housework. It's God's will, he says.
And you believe that God wants women to stay inside the house?
Rao is from rural Pakistan, where tradition and conservative Islam have deep roots. Saman Saeed, another passenger, is rearing his 3 sons in the big city, also in private schools. He's an anti-narcotics officer in Karachi, a relatively westernized metropolis. He doesn't want his boys, who are all under 10, to be led astray. They won't be allowed online until they're 16, he says. Meanwhile, he keeps them busy.
They go to school in the morning, then in the afternoon they recite the Holy Quran. After that there's tuition, and then there's food and sleep.
Outside our train window, the sun has risen. This railway was built 160 years ago by the British, when this landscape was part of their Indian Empire. The safety record is poor. A few weeks back, at least 20 people were killed on this line when one train rear-ended another. Fire! This doesn't appear to bother Mohammed Junaid and his family. They're in business class, eating potato chips and listening to their favorite traveling song on a mobile phone. They're heading home to Karachi after a vacation in the Himalayas. Junaid's a cook in his family's catering business. He's 27. He says he was offered a job in the US a while back, but his father wouldn't let him go.
What did you say to your father when he said no?
I accepted it. He's my father, and in the Quran, God tells me to respect him.
Families here come with rules. Junaid's sister, Fauzia Kaval, works part-time at home, giving private math and English lessons to small children. She says in Pakistan, attitudes are changing. She and her husband will let their kids make up their own minds about what to do with their lives, she says.
If we force them to do something, they won't become what we want them to be, and they won't be able to become what they want to be.
Then I ask Kaval a question about Pakistani politics.
I don't like...
And brother Junaid butts in.
Pakistani women are busy doing housework. They don't know about the outside world. They only watch TV soaps and stay home and look after the kids.
Fauzia Kaval's right. In Pakistan, some attitudes are changing. Others are not. Philip Reeves, NPR News, on the train to Karachi.